an awesome God. He reigns forever.
Say it again, come on.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns forever and ever. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns forever and ever.
Here we go. Our God is a holy God. He reigns forever. Our God is a holy God. He reigns forever and ever. Here we go.
Our God is a holy God. He reigns forever and ever. Our God is a holy God. He reigns.
Say it again.
Our God is a holy God. He reigns forever and ever. Our God is a holy God. He reigns
forever
and ever. Here
we go. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, let's worship him in the beauty of holiness. Come on. I don't see you clapping. Come on. And we say, Lord, you are good and your mercy endure it forever. Everybody lift it up and say,
Lord, you are good and your mercy endure it forever.
Lord, you're good and we say,
Lord, you are good and your mercy endure it forever.
Lord, you can say, Lord, you are good and your mercy endure it.
People from every nation,
people from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you.
Give him the glory. Let's lift it up again. Lord, you're good and say,
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
All God's people, let's say it.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Lord, you're good and say,
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
We say it.
We say
it.
From every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are.
We worship you, say,
we worship.
Let's say it, you are good.
You are good all the time, all the time. You are good.
You are good.
You are good all the time, all the time. You are good.
You are good.
You are good all the time, all the time. You are good.
Say it, say it.
You are good all the time, all the time.
Now listen up. I want you to let your neighbor know. Say, neighbor, if you didn't come here to talk this morning, you at the wrong church. Say, neighbor, I've been through too much stuff. Now, once again, y'all sitting there like you don't talk to each other. I want you to open the mouth that God gave you. Use your voice box and say, neighbor, I've been through too much stuff not to give my God the praise. Now watch this. Sometimes the person next to you has to see you praise because they know your story. And they can say, if a person been through that, then I can give God praise through what I'm going through. Y'all just missed it. I'm gonna say it again. Sometimes your neighbor needs to see you give God praise because they know what you've been through. They know you. They know you cried the tears. They know you want to give up. But now they see you saying this.
You are good all the time, all the time. You are good.
Say it again.
You are good all the time, all the time. You are good.
Say it again.
You are good all the time, all the time. You are good.
You are wonderful. And God, we praise your name. We worship you.
We worship you.
And we say,
hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you for who you are.
We worship you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, we
your music, lift your own voice and recognize who your God is.
You know, this morning you may have come in here with a variety of emotions around everything that's going on in this country this week. You may be happy, you may be disappointed, you may be fearful, you may be excited, but regardless of your emotions this morning, we have one thing that holds, and that is our anchor in Christ Jesus. Regardless of what has happened in the past, we have an assurance that says that he is in control and he will take care of us. We have a record that says that in the past he has done, and so in the future he will do. We have nothing to fear. So this morning, if those are the emotions that you've come in here with, I encourage you as we sing this next song to lay them on the altar. He is able. He will. That's his promise. His promises are yes and amen. He is not man that he should lie. His word is truth.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Come on, sing. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Still in your hands, this is my confidence. You never failed. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. The night won't last. Your word will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again. Your promise still stands. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness. Your promise still stands.
up your mouths and give him a praise. He never failed, he never will. Oh, yeah. And here's why. Yeah. I've seen you move. You move the mountains. And I believe I'll see you do it again.
You have never failed us yet. You are the God that does the impossible because it's easy to you. With our hands lifted up and our mouths filled with praise and a heart of thanksgiving, we will worship you, O Lord. In this atmosphere, miracles are falling. In this atmosphere, change is taking place. As we worship him withholding nothing, he withholds nothing from those that believe in him. I dare someone in this place now to actually walk into your miracle without someone touching you except the power of God. We believe. I surrender all to you. Everything, God, we give to you. Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing. I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you, withholding nothing, withholding nothing. Withholding nothing, withholding nothing. Say that and whisper it. Withholding nothing, withholding nothing, withholding nothing. All over the building. Withholding nothing. Sing this to him.
Withholding nothing.
Go on, God, and do it now.
Withholding nothing.
Withholding.
Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing.
Join with me as we say, I give you all.
I give you all of me. I give you. I give you all of me. I give you all of me.
Say it again to him.
I give you all of me. I give you all of me.
I give you all.
I give you.
When they are operating on people in the hospital, the room is not filled with a lot of clatter, a lot of noise. But people that are operating are in there and they're speaking to each other. All of the noise, all of the chatter that's not pertaining to the surgery is out of the room. Thank you, Lord, for their surgery taking place today in this room. Pastor Johnson, I don't understand. God is going in the spiritual, in your emotional cavity, in your psychological realm, in your emotional realm. There's surgery being taken place right now. In other words, when you said to him, from a vertical standpoint, take all of me, I give you all of me, we're not saying, God, take me and my junk, but God, take me as you see me. As you're completing the work in me, take me as you see me. So I give you all.
I give you all of me.
And let him do the work. Let God do the work. Shh.
Jesus, my Savior, forever. King Jesus, my Savior.
Just say that. You're coming out of the anesthesia now. Come on, tell him.
King Jesus, my Savior, forever.
He brought you through it. Now give him the praise.
King Jesus,
yeah.
My Savior, forever.
Bring your voice up just a little bit because your strength is coming back.
King Jesus, my Savior, forever.
People are surprised that you still got joy after all you've been through.
King Jesus,
who?
My Savior.
What?
Forever.
Now let the devil know that God is your king.
King Jesus.
What?
My Savior.
Hey.
Forever.
He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What's his name?
King Jesus.
My Savior.
My Savior.
Forever.
Forever.
One more time we say, King Jesus.
King Jesus.
He need you. Lord, we need you. Every hour we need you. Bless me now, my Savior. We come to thee. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour we need you. Bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. The King of glory shall come in. The King of glory shall come in. Shall come in. Good.
We honor you this morning, Jesus. We love being in your presence, God. Holy Spirit, I ask that you'll just sweep through this room, that not one will be able to leave without saying, I've been in God's presence. In the name of Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. See, what you're experiencing right now is called the unity of the faith. One heart, one mind, because there's only one God. He is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. Amen. While you're standing there, this is the moment and why God created this atmosphere to speak to you. If you look on the walls, you'll see different flags. 20 different nations. We have Puerto Rico that needs to go up on the wall. We have Brazil that needs to go up on the wall. South Africa needs to go up on the wall. These represent the nations that are in this house. You see, the enemy loves to bring division. It's his passion. He knows if he can divide, he will conquer. The Word of God makes a declaration in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25 and 26. It says this, 25 and 26, that there should be no division in the body, but that the members shall have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. For you are of the body of Christ and members individually. You see, each one of us in this room need to recognize that nobody is better than anybody else. Amen? Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm no better than you. Turn to someone next to you and say, I need you. This week has been a very divisive week in our country. But you see, it can never be divisive in the kingdom. You see these nations? It can never be divisive in the kingdom. We are not governed by this world's kingdom. We are governed by the kingdom of heaven. There's great diversity within every single body. I want you to say this with me. Diversity brings strength. That's the truth. Every single one of us, our diversities bring strength. You'll notice that we are not a political church. Now, if you go out west, there are churches that literally preach every single week on politics. But you know, in this house, we don't mention politics, and I'll tell you why. Because no one should ever feel unsafe or divided within God's kingdom. Boy, that was awful weak. No one should ever feel unsafe or unguarded in God's kingdom. And you know, there's great diversity within everybody, within every single person that's in this room. And every one of us see things differently through a different set of glasses. The enemy loves to bring division. And in this, we see our country having uprisings. Many people are hurt. Many people are discouraged. Many people are in fear, like actual fear. But in this house, perfect love casts out all fear. In the kingdom of God, there should be no fear. For it makes no difference which country you're from, your ethnicity, it matters that you're a child of the living God. And if you're a child of God, there is safety and unity. And so right now, we're going to bind any spirit of division that will try to come into this house. Now listen, I've already had communication by more than one individual. I'm going to just say it. I just got to always say what I got to say. When we started this church in 1998, God said that we'd be a multicultural church. Now you need to understand what that means in this area. This area is mainly white folk. Over 80% of this area are white people. And I said, God, I don't know how you're going to pull that off. Lord, there's far more white people than there are African Americans or Africans or island people. Lord, the diversity of color, diversity of ethnicity. I said, God, I don't know how you're going to do that. And if you'll notice, God has continually over the years, I remember the very first African American family that came to this church. And after about 6 months, they looked at me and said, Pastor, we're still the only black people here. And I said, hang on. You're the plowers. You're breaking down the walls. Because there is no white church. There is no black church. There is no Latino church. There is no Asian church. There's only one church. And Jesus is the head. I said, Jesus is the head. And in that, over the 18 years, God's been bringing in nations in a little area called Horse of Heads, New York. We're brothers and sisters. If one hurts, we all hurt. If one needs protection, we protect. And so I never give my political view. Because you know what? The ultimate will of God will occur. There will be an Antichrist. There will be a rapture of the church. There will be a great tribulation period. And there will be a battle of Armageddon. And it doesn't matter who's in or who's out. Greatest lesson I ever learned, and I'll stop with this. I was in Bible school, and there was a shift in presidents. The old school that I was part of for the year and a half, you went into class, the Holy Ghost was allowed to move any way he wanted to. I mean, they were old school Pentecostal people. You were afraid to sin in this place. We had one teacher, Sister Custer. She used to pray in front of her grandfather clock. And God would show her people sinning in her grandfather clock. I remember one time taking a test, and all of a sudden this teacher, she was a heavy, heavy lady, jumped up. Never seen her move so fast in my life. Jumped up, ran down four rows and over three, and caught somebody cheating in an exam. Because the Holy Ghost said, go down four and over three. Well, when there was a shift in presidency of our Bible school, they took our tuition and tripled it. They took all the spiritual teachers and fired them. They moved us from the old campus that we had been to for so many years, so many great moves of the Spirit, over to a new campus. And it seemed to die spiritually. And I was getting a bitter spirit. In fact, I was about to get kicked out, and I decided maybe I should leave first. So I left, and I came back, and this is what the Lord taught me. Nebuchadnezzar, who was one of the greatest rulers, most powerful men in the book of Daniel, when he spoke against God, this powerful leader ended up growing talons, eating grass like a cow. His hair grew long like an eagle. And the declaration was, I put men in and I take them out. And God said to me, who do you think you are coming against this president? And I'm not talking about the president, I'm talking about the Bible school. Who do you think you are coming against this president? For my purposes will be accomplished. I am not weak and I am not short. So you do your thing. I love what Jesus said to John. Excuse me, to Peter. Do you remember this in the book, end of the book of John? Peter walked up to Jesus and says, Jesus, you know, what about this John thing? And Jesus looked at him and said, what is that to you? Follow thou me. And so Peter kept going. And Jesus looked at him, what is that to you? Follow thou me. Feed my sheep. In other words, mind your own stinking business and do what I've called you to do. When you recognize that, you have to remain in peace. There have been presidents over my lifetime that I sat back and said, how in the world could a country ever bring this president into position? And the Lord said, my purposes will come. What we need to pray for as the body is just a little bit more time to snatch some more people from Satan's lair. We need just a little bit more time to make sure that more people hear the gospel. We need just a little bit more time. How many of you know at least five people that if they died today would not go to heaven? Dear Lord, we need more time. It has nothing to do with the President of the United States. It has to do with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm not governed by this world. I walk by faith and not by sight. And with that, in Jesus' name, I bind any spirit of division that would try to come in and cause fear or terror. I bind the demons of terror and fear in Jesus' name. And I command them right now. I bind you and tell you you have no place in the kingdom of God and in the house of God. For Jesus' house is filled with love and passion for each other. Lord, I release the anointing of love in this house. That Jesus, no matter what ethnicity, no matter what country, no matter what background, someone can walk in this place and feel the love of God being thick all over them. And Jesus, we give you honor. And we know this, Lord, that we are invincible until our time is over. So fear has no place in us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now, listen now. Second service are kind of snobby people. I didn't know if you knew that or not. But in first service, you are just some kind, nice folk. Amen. Can I get you to go hug some necks of folks you don't know? Listen, they might not want to hug, so offer a hand and shake. But go find somebody you don't know this morning. Don't be a snob. Let somebody know you love them today and that God is good. No matter what nation, no matter what kindred, no matter what kind, we are one body in Christ.
Your growth is directly tied into your success, and we want to see you successful in your Christian walk. I want to introduce you to Next Steps Level 1. You can attend this Tuesday nights, Wednesday mornings, or Thursday nights for Rock Solid Faith. It is a year-long class that is absolutely life-changing. And then Session 2, Step 2, is marriage, and that's going on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. This will be a series of 8-week classes. We want to encourage you, if you've done Rock Solid Faith, sign up for Step 2. If you haven't got started, get started today. You can go to histabernacle.com and register. You can come right to the hub, or you can email nextsteps@histabernacle for more information.
Hey, HisTab, I've got some exciting news for you. Evangelist Tiff Shuttlesworth is coming here November 20th. He's doing the 9 a.m. service, the 11 a.m. service, and we're even doing a special service here at 6 p.m. Invite your friends and family and don't miss out.
Waking up to another light, no more sorrow.
Has everybody met Pastor David Wilkerson? He has one of the best bald heads of the church. Glory to God. What a mighty man of God. He lives down in Waverly and Sayre area. He lives in Athens, Georgia. Do you live in Georgia? Oh. He drives here every Sunday. Glory to God. We're blessed to have him and his beautiful bride. Will you stand up, honey? Stand right up and wave at everybody. Christina, very good. Wave at everybody. Just say, I love you. Very good. That's Christina. We want you to know that if you're ill or need ministry down in the Athens, Waverly, Sayre area, that we'll make sure that Pastor David and Christina come and love on you, minister to you, pray for you, lay hands on you, and see God touch you. Amen? We love you. Praise the Lord. We want to welcome all of our guests this morning. If you're a first-time guest at His Tabernacle Family Church, we want to let you know we love you. And if you're a first-time guest, if you could raise your hand, we're not going to embarrass you or anything, but we have a gift for you. We want to bless you with a mug so that every morning when you're drinking your coffee or your tea, you can look and say, wow, I know somebody's praying for me. Is there any guests in the house this morning? If you raise your hand up, oh, in the far back, very good. You just want a mug, honey. Get that girl a mug. Hallelujah. Anybody, first-time guest, far back, very good. You can raise your hand just a little bit higher, honey. That way they can see you. Oh, there you go. They're on you. They're on you like a dog on a tick or a tick on a dog. Amen. Anybody else? Brother Carl, how are you? Brother Carl, stand with your wife, Donna. Minister Carl is over all of our nursing home ministries. We go to how many now a week? 4 different nursing homes a week. So if you love ministering to folks in nursing homes, that somebody said to me, well, Pastor, I need to go out into the field and preach the gospel to every creature. And I said, glory to God. I said, the greatest mission field that we have right now and the most critical is where Minister Carl is. Why? Because those folks are on the very precipice of eternity. We need people to reach them. So if you want to join ministry and do ministry, you can see Brother Carl. He'll set you all up. Amen? And yes. You want a mug? No. He wants a mug. Any other guests in the house this morning? Well, amen. We want to welcome all those watching by live stream. We love you. We thank you that you're on right now. You're our family. We are celebrating. Come on, celebrate our family online. Amen. So we just want to say thank you. We want to make an announcement, and that is our daughter is leaving. This is her last Sunday. She's heading down to Bible school down in Florida. So she'll be down in Bible school for a very short period of time, like 2 weeks. No. But if you're a young person, you know the impact that she has. She's just a tremendous young lady. She's quiet, but she goes, and poor Gracie's going to cry. She's already crying. Amen. But we just want to let you know our daughter did not leave the church. She did, actually. So she'll be leaving for Bible school this coming Friday. So if you'll keep her in prayer, that'd be awesome. We love her, and we will celebrate her. Amen. Last night, she had her small group. For those if you're a parent here and you have a teenager and you have not yet brought them to youth ministry, I'm a little confused. I want to encourage you. Your kids need to come to youth ministry. She had her small group last night, and I think we had, I don't know, 12, 14 young ladies camping out in our living room. It's awful hard getting up in the morning and praying. I had to wait to get coffee till later. So we just want to celebrate all of the young people and let you know that God is moving in this house.
Amen. God is so awesome. He is the King of Kings. You know, as we have been going through this year of Kingdom Seed, we have had such a great revelation that we are a part of Kingdom. And down to every area of our lives, even Kingdom Finance. So, you know, I know when there's turmoil and stuff in the country, we start getting concerned. But we are a part of Kingdom Finance. If you are a tither and you participate with Kingdom Finance, you don't have to worry about famine, bondage, exile, whatever it is. We are kingdom people. So it is all the more reason that we need to be faithful in our tithes and offerings so that we are participating in the supernatural realm. We need to, more than ever before, be aware that we function in a supernatural realm over the natural. And then there is no fear for tomorrow. And we have enough for every good work in God's house. There is so much good work that goes on at your finances, at your tithing, at your giving. Matthew 25, powerful, powerful ministry that not only feeds these young people and puts clothes on their body, but the best part is we give them Jesus. We give them hope. We give them a hope for a future. That is the most powerful thing that Matthew 25 does. And if you are not yet serving in Matthew 25, I would encourage you to participate in Matthew 25. It is reaching our community and this next generation of people for Jesus. So even more than your finance, I want you to take another step and help and participate. There is nothing more fulfilling than working in the ministry and watching lives change and develop and grow for the kingdom of God. So this morning, I want to remind you, you are kingdom people. You are not of the, we are just sojourners in this place. We are sojourners. We are kingdom people. And my finances are blessed. They are in the kingdom finance. Supernatural. It does not matter what happens on this earth. My finances, your finances, if you're participating in the kingdom, will be blessed. No matter what, the sons and daughters of God, people will look on and say, I do not know how that's happening, but for God, it will give God glory. So if you're ready this morning to enter in and participate with kingdom finance, stand to your feet. We will make our supernatural declaration because this is true in any season. God's word does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So according to Deuteronomy 28, repeat after me, if I obey, then I am blessed going in and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. Oh, come on, declare it. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, click on the giving button. Participate with Kingdom Finance right along with us.
Sorry.
Praise the Lord. God is good, isn't he?
Yes.
I said, God is good, isn't he?
Yes.
You know, I'm just excited for what Jesus is doing in your life. We've had a lot of people born again this year, I believe, including Rock the City. Over almost 300 people have given their hearts to Jesus this year at His Tabernacle Family Church. I'm believing for a greater harvest in the latter part of the year than in the beginning of the year. I'm believing not just for harvest, but sustained harvest. So let me tell you how I pray on a consistent basis. I pray that just as it was in the book of Acts, that we will have organic growth. The Bible says that the Lord added to the church daily. Amen. Also, that when it came to a place, the Bible says that the church started to increase by multiplication. I'm believing for the multiplication process of salvation, not to build a big church, but to build God's kingdom. For Jesus is coming and coming very, very soon. Amen. Today we want to honor all of the veterans that are in the house. You know, no freedom is free. And the message I'm preaching this morning is dealing with the greatest harvest demands the greatest seed. The greatest harvest demands the greatest seed. And you and I were able to vote this week. No matter which way you voted, you were able to vote this week. Because people gave the greatest seed their life. If you watched the blog the other day, just in one war, 1 million Americans died. Just in one. All the way from the Revolutionary War all the way up, men and women have given their lives the greatest seed to be able to have the privilege of sitting in a chair without worrying about some government coming in and arresting you because you're a believer. We are a blessed country. Can I hear an amen? Listen, if you agree with everything that's going on in the country, you need drugs. Hallelujah. But the issue is that we still live in the greatest country of the world. And God has blessed us in this country. Can I hear an amen? So we'd like to honor, if I could have all of those who served in the armed forces, please stand. No matter what era you served in. I saw your picture, man. Thank you. Come on, let's give them honor this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Let's all stand and honor our country.
God bless America. From the mountains to the prairies to the ocean, wide with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America.
We are blessed. Amen. Turn to someone and say, I thank God for our country. Amen. You may be seated this morning. The greatest harvest demands the greatest seed. And you know, many of us have seed, and we've had seed in our pocket, which is our life. And we've given God portions of the seed and expect a greater harvest. But God is saying this morning, if you want the greatest harvest, you must be willing to give the greatest seed. We know the verse for the year, and today I'd like you to turn with me to the book of John, chapter 12. I have about 15 minutes to preach, and I can do it in that period of time if we see a miracle occur from heaven. John, chapter 12, verse 24 says this, I tell you the truth. Everybody shout, I love the truth. The truth will make you free. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. You see, many people want deep revelation. But the fact is that some of us still have a problem living basic understanding. And the basic understanding is the truth of why Christ died on Calvary's tree. We can get so deep in the gospel that we forget the basic reality of the cost that Christ paid for you and I. You see, without you and I having the greatest seed planted in the ground and dying, we would not be part of the harvest. You see, this is a requirement that God has always had. I want you to realize that. This is not a new doctrine. This is not a new theory. This is not a new perception. God's principles are yea and amen. God lives by them. God planted seed to have the garden. Even God lives by the principles of sowing and reaping. We cannot escape them. We live them. We're encompassed by them. We're encapsulated every moment of our day by the principle of seed time and harvest. But yet God is saying, if you want the greatest harvest, you must be willing to plant the greatest seed. Now, God first must live this. God must live this principle. Now, again, like I said, this is not new. We see Jesus coming in the New Testament, but we see the same principle being invoked and lived upon in the Old Covenant. We all know about Abraham. We know that God gave him a promise in Genesis chapter 12, that he would be the father of many nations, and that his descendants would be like the sands of the sea and the stars in the sky, so vast and so blessed, and everything that is blessed by him would be blessed. Whoever touches him in a cursed way would be cursed, and whoever blesses him would be blessed. That principle is still the same. That's why I thank God for America, that we're still for Israel. Can I hear an amen? But you and I must recognize the principle of the greatest seed demands that you and I plant the best that we have. You know, there's an old song. It says, we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house. How many of you remember that song? Dear Lord, that means you've been saved a long time. It was really a dorky song. It really was funny. Because you were supposed to do this. Ready? We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house. Okay, let's practice. All right, let's do that together, right? No, you wouldn't even know. You sure you don't want to play? Come on, let's not. Right, here we go. Everybody get your hands half-mast. There you go. Go half-mast. Don't go all the way. You hurt somebody. Hallelujah. Ready? Here we go. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house. Yeah, that's what I said. You know what I mean? And that's a verse. We bring the sacrifice of praise. But what that song did to that was it said, well, you know, I'll bring him the best I got for this day. But the principle of the best is never one of just what you have left over. It's the best that you have. And the best seed that you and I have is our life. You see, unless a kernel of wheat is buried and dies, it cannot bring any more fruit. It is dead within the soil. It must die and it must break open. God is calling us, even as the song was being sung by Pastor Johnson and the worship team. We must come to a place of surrender. For if we want the greatest harvest, we must plant the greatest seed. With Abraham, it was no different. God told him in the book of Genesis chapter 22, he said, take your son, and I want you to go and sacrifice him. So he grabbed his son, he grabbed the bundle, and he grabbed the wood, and he grabbed the fire, and he took two servants, and they went further, and God showed him the mountain. And he said, now, go up further. And so the two servants stayed, and his son, and the fire, and we know there was rope. They took him up on top, and he made an altar before the Lord. And at that altar, he bound his son up. And he was getting ready to plunge the knife when the Lord stopped him. Now, the power of why, of course, God would never ask him to kill his son, but the confidence that Abraham had was what he said to his servants, we'll be back. You see, whether or not he was going to have to plunge the knife or not, I don't know if Abraham knew, But this I knew, he was willing to give his best seed to get the greatest harvest. Some of us don't mind giving a little seed and want the greatest harvest, but death will always bring forth life. If you love me, you must die to yourself. God is calling the church, calling the body of Christ to a higher level of death in the flesh so that we can live higher in the spirit. The Bible says here in the book of Genesis chapter 22, and God said, do not lay your hands on that lad or do anything to him. For now, I love this, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. He had the greatest harvest. Abraham had the greatest harvest. Today you and I are here because of Abraham. But the truth is this, if God had not, he had not brought his son to the place of planting the best seed, then he would never have had the harvest that was promised to him. Some of you have promises, yea and amen. God has spoken to you. God has directed you. God has put a vision within you. God has put a passion in your spirit. But you'll never accomplish that vision because you're unwilling to give the greatest seed. You want the harvest, but you don't want to plant the seed. And God is saying it's time to get back to an understanding that God requires not part of you, but God requires all of you. That means your attitude. Come on now. That means your attitude, that means your vision and purpose in life. That means your husband, your wife, your children. That means every fiber and every fabric that you have, God is requiring that from you. You see, God desires the best because he wants to give you the best. But God cannot give us the best unless we're willing to plant the greatest seed. You see, Abraham, this experience, was a type and a shadow of what Jesus was going to do. We know the verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We know that verse. But let me tell you how I've been praying. God, I know that I don't have a full wraparound revelation of the death that you accomplished on Calvary's tree. I truly am asking the Lord every day, God, I need a greater understanding of the death that you paid so that I would understand how much you love us, how much you're passionate for us, what you gave to get the harvest for us. Christ gave it all so that we might have all. You cannot have any great harvest without a great seed. We're going to show that video in second service. Now I don't have time in first. We're just going to have to start earlier. Is that all right? Yes, we're talking maybe at the beginning of the year, starting at 8:30 instead. Just so we can have a little bit more time. You don't mind it? I got to cut these things off on a constant basis. I got to cut the service down on a constant basis. And I know all the worship team will be here at 5 a.m. practicing. Glory to God. One of the things that I find is that many have forgotten where they've come from. And many have forgotten that somebody planted a seed in you. You know, today I want to talk about my mom a little bit. My mom, come on over here, Ma. This is my blood mother. You know, I have a different mother, but this is my mother. This poor woman, I put her through hell and back. Glory to God. This is my mom. Come on up one more. You got it? Let me hold you. I look like her, don't I? For a 90-year-old, she looks good, don't she? Hit me. Shouldn't be hitting the preacher. My ma's testimony is so powerful. And today I want you to recognize that the greatest seed that you and I have is the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you and I give our lives to Jesus, then God gives us life. But then God said, don't keep it. It's time to give it away. Matthew chapter 10 makes the declaration, as freely as you've received, freely give.
And many of us think it's about preachers, and the preacher stands up and preaches the message, and wow, glory to God, that was good. But the fact is that every single one of us in this room, somebody planted a seed in your life that brought you to a place where you're standing today, and generations have been changed because somebody planted a seed. My ma, they had a neighbor, correct?
Yeah. Someone at school when I was 12, she came to me. She was just doing her job for God because I had newly moved from Vermont to Massachusetts. I didn't know one person. I was going to a new school at 12 years old, and this girl came to me. God, she came to me first and said, I'd like to be your friend, and would you go to church with us? And I was the first one in our family to go to church. My father was an alcoholic, and he was bringing us nowhere. So we went to church. I went to church first with her, loved it. It was a Pentecostal church, and next my mother came. She was a beaten housewife, weekly beaten physically, and we had to steal out of the house some of the time when my father was drunk so that we could go to church. But God brought our whole family to church. My father eventually came off and on, but did not want to serve the Lord. He wanted to serve the enemy. But guess what? God protected our family and brought us to church weekly.
Because of one. Because of one. Thanks.
Also, I want to tell you that there was one person in that church that was willing every single Sunday to come and pick us up as a family and bring us to church. And he also had opposition from his wife because he did this, and he was so faithful. So if you think that picking up a family for church is hardship, it's a blessing.
Yeah. Thank you, Bob. I want you to see something. It wasn't a preacher. The seed, the greatest seed that was planted in this woman, this little girl at 12 years old, was not a preacher standing behind the pulpit. It was one person. I want you to recognize that you have within you the greatest seed, the seed of heaven, bursting, waiting to be released into someone's life so that God can bring change to a generation. You see, it didn't just save my mother, didn't just save the brothers, didn't just save my grandmother. Eventually, my grandfather on his deathbed gave his heart to Jesus Christ. You see, that one person brought generational change. What do we mean by that? My two uncles became a pastor. I became a pastor, and my life is affecting your life, which means that one person has affected generations to come, and lives have been transformed because of the faithfulness of planting the greatest seed to get the greatest harvest. It's not something where it's about preachers. It's about all of us. Today, I just want to give you an opportunity, and I don't usually do this. We call it popcorn testimonies. Anybody ever heard of those? You know your old gospel if you know what those are. We're going to do this. We have ushers ready to run to you. I want you just to shout out the name of the person that planted the seed or led you to Christ. Who wants to be first? Right there. Christina Wilkerson. Yes. Josh and Melanie Fuchsman, yes. Sherry Boland, yes. You saw me on TV, amen. Yes. Pastor Banfield, you beast, yes. Beverly Wales, hallelujah, yes. Oh, the Macers, hallelujah. So Josh led them to Jesus, Josh and Melanie led them to Jesus, and then they led you to Jesus. Whoa, generational change. Come on. Jody Dykes, yes. Ida Vanderbilt. Oh, I love that. Yes, young man. Victoria Grant. Alberta Burbank. Go on now. Yes. Kathy McGee. Amen. Grace Barraby, you little beastly chick. Yes. What's that? Marge Engel, hallelujah. What's that? The Vishers. Kayla Keegan, wow, come on now. Young man. Samantha Jokum. What's that? Nicole Caldwell, really? I didn't realize that. Yes, young man. You stud. He said, my wife, hallelujah. Yes. Phil Johnson. Minister Redner. Your mother. Eddie Dyer, my great uncle. Yes. Pastor Woodwell. I may remember him from Corning. Michael Cox. What a beast. Yes. Bert Serville. Amen. Yes. Rick and Roxanne Beach. Don and Tammy Benjamin. Linda Marie. Oh, come on now. Irene Morse. That was her grandma. Yeah. Adam Smith. Adam Smith, like the firefighter dude. Oh, cool. Your grandma. Gary Petroni. Come on now. I didn't know that, you little evangelist. Hallelujah. Yes. Author Michelle Congdon, who got led to the Lord by Michael Cox. Whoa, come on, generational.
Awesome.
Yes, I saw another hand. Yes, a young man. Ben Luisi, the Italian stallion electrician. Hallelujah. Yes. Your daughter, what's her name? Nan, glory to God. Her daughter led her to Jesus. Yes, in the back. Cody Spencer. Yes. Who?
Marie Trocia.
Marie Trocia. Glory to God. Come on, somebody else, real quick. Just going to take two more. Yes. Epi Smith. I know Epi. She's awesome. Jody Dykes. Ooh, she's an evangelist there. Brittany Gilbert. Glory to God. Yes.
Pastor Shannon.
Pastor Shannon Palko. Listen now. I want you to read. Yes. Your grandmother, Jean McGee. Come on now. Yes. I saw a hand. Half mast. Was there somebody here? Yes. Who? Marie Williams. Yes. Your son, Charles. That's stinking cool, isn't it? Yes. Kathy Aarons. Yes. I love Kathy and Michael. Anybody else? Wow. Can you hear all of this? So how many of you knew every name that was spoken? How many of you knew... You knew a lot of them? Me too, because they've been here for a while. Watch now. I want you to see this. How many of you have been, how many did I personally lead to Jesus Christ in this building? Now, I'm not talking you came to the altar. That's right. My brother-in-law, Chad, he stumbled in. He had been a drunkard, wild man. Stumbled into our church in Newfield on a Memorial Day weekend, I believe it was. It was a Sunday night service. His head was in his hands. And he hated me. And I said to his sister, you probably should go talk to your brother. And that night he gave his heart to the Lord. He packed up for Bible school. And he went out to Rod Parsley's World Harvest. Yes. Oh, I led you to Jesus. Was it in my living room? Well, glory to God. It's important to recognize that this is not about preachers. The greatest seed to produce the greatest harvest is inside of you. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. You see, God wants you to recognize that you possess inside of you the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And God is saying, if you will share the greatest seed, I will bring a great harvest. And the harvest will not be an individual only, but will be generations to come. You see, generation is what God is after. God is a generational God. He loves touching by generation. And we've got to be willing to sacrifice. Oh, pastor, well, you know, I'm just afraid that somebody's going to reject me. And they will. Don't give me your religion. My favorite one was when I worked at Mr. Donuts. I got 1 minute and 10 seconds. When I worked at Mr. Donuts, you didn't know there's a timer in the back, did you? When I worked at Mr. Donuts, I remember this girl. I used to work the midnight to six shift, and she was there, and she started sharing with me. She said, well, you know, you wouldn't believe what we did last night. She said, we went out to a party. Man, I got drunk. I woke up to a guy. I didn't even know his name. But, boy, I had so much fun. And she told me her whole party scene. And I just stood there with a little smirk on my face. And I then looked at her and I said, now let me tell you about Jesus. Oh, don't preach your religion to me. I said, oh, well, you just got done preaching to me. Now it's my turn to preach to you. And I shared Jesus with her. And she ended up coming to church and giving her heart to Jesus. You see, I want you to know that God is passionate about the message. Why? Because it changes generations. The blood of Jesus washes away every single stain. The blood of Jesus restores you, makes you whole, body, soul, and mind. The gospel of Christ is not dead. It is not weak. It is the power, the supernatural dunamis of heaven to release, to change, to transform every single person in this room. A person cannot get saved without seed. The quieter the church is, truthfully, this is what bugs me more about all of this, what's the word I'm looking for? Election stuff. If some of you would put even a third, even a quarter, even a tenth of passion to seeking the lost that you have in the political realm, we'd have revival in the house of God. We should all get up and dance on that one. Wow! It only takes one seed to change a generation. Because the seed isn't weak. The seed is the greatest seed that God has given us. The gospel of Jesus Christ that transforms a life. And I don't know about you, but when you lead someone to Christ, when you're able to share the Jesus of heaven that has transformed your life, and they accept him, there is something that happens in you that cannot be recreated. It cannot be brought about by drugs. It cannot be brought about by alcohol. It cannot be brought about by a woman or a man. When God uses you to preach the gospel and now somebody gets saved and their life is changed, their generations are changed, there is a high that can never be destroyed. It's time for the church to get vision again. It's time for us to get back on track again. If we want the greatest harvest, we must plant the greatest seed. So the question is this: when was the last time you even shared the gospel with somebody? Don't answer that. I believe we've got to end this year. I always taught my kid this. All of my children know this. You do not end weak, you end strong. If you're coming to the end of the race, they better pick you up at the end. Because you're going to give your best, not at the beginning, but at the end. You're going to give it all. You're going to end strong. And I believe this year, if every one of you will share the gospel with somebody, I believe every single one of us in this room have at least five people we know that are dying and going to hell. I had a teacher at Bible college. Her name was Sister King. Old, very mature young lady. In her mid to late 90s, she jumped a bus in Providence, Rhode Island every single day. And Sister King had no real place to go. When she hopped the bus, her only purpose was one thing: who can I lead to Jesus today? Her whole vision in life was to make sure that the greatest seed to produce the greatest harvest was being brought about so that people's lives can be transformed, not just as an individual, but as a generation. And God is calling us to generational soul winning. He's calling us to be people that will not be sitting back and have passion towards things that ultimately in 5 years will die and have no impact. But we will focus our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and we will bring the gospel to as many souls as possible. We'll snatch them out of Satan's lair. We'll let the devil know he can't have our children. He cannot have Elmira. He cannot have the children of Corning. He cannot have the children of your towns. The devil cannot have this region. It is God's region, and the church is not dead. The church is not weak, but the church is alive because the greatest seed of God has been planted in us, and we are sitting in the greatest harvest field we have ever seen before, and it's time for the resurrection of the body of Christ to have passion again, to see a soul transformed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and then their generations will change. Next week, we have Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth coming to town. I need the ushers to move quick. I need the ushers to move quickly, if you could. I want you to be just a wild person evangelist this week. I want you to invite as many people as you can to these meetings. I just need you to give a stack. Give a whole stack to a row. I think he always sends us so many, we don't even know what to do with them. Pastor Obino Ibo, is there a ton of them? He didn't give us a ton this year. Well, he has low faith. I have high faith. Hey, buddy, I want you to invite at least 5 people this next Sunday. Everybody turn to somebody and say, 5 people. I want you to invite 5 people next Sunday morning. Why is that? Well, probably 2 of them are going to say no. And that's okay. You've still planted a seed of interest in their heart. This last week, I picked up a man who was hitchhiking down Breezeport Road. He says to me, well, I'm moving to North Carolina. I said, well, that's great. He says, how do I know you? I said, well, I'm the pastor at His Tap. I watch you in the mornings. And I said, well, that's exciting. I said, do you know Jesus as your Savior? And he says, well, you know, I'm that one. And I prayed for him. I grabbed his hand and I started praying for him. And you know, at that moment, he did not receive the Lord. One plants, one waters, and God brings the increase. But if there's no seed, there'll never be a harvest. You see, God is calling you this week. He's calling you every day, but I'm just pushing you this week. Calling you every day this week to invite people to the meetings because Brother Tiff is an amazing soul winner. The message we know that if you bring them to the house, they're not going to be able to walk away without saying, I made a conscious choice to accept or reject Christ. And that's what we want. We want everybody to have the choice. Can you imagine standing at the bellows and the abyss of the lake of fire and realizing that the person next to you was born again and they never once told you how to get out of the lake of fire? There's no more selfish person than a saint that won't share the greatest seed that God has given us. And there's nobody you hate more than your friend or relative that you won't share Jesus with. What? You cannot hate somebody more than somebody you say you love, but you're unwilling to share the gospel with. For you know their end eternity, yet you do not care enough to share with them. There's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Amen. Today I have one more piece of homework for you. Turn to somebody and say, he's given us homework? Absolutely. How many of you remember the name of the person that led you to Jesus or planted the seed? Do you realize that nobody's in this room without somebody planting a seed? This week, I want you to write that person a letter, send them a card, give them a call on the telephone, and just simply say, thank you. That's all I'm asking you to do. I believe that what you'll find, well, Pastor, what if they're dead? Send it to their kid. Let the child know, whether they're even in their 70s themselves, that their parent created legacy. Everybody wants to know that their parent or person that passed away has not been forgotten. Send a thank you. They'll realize that the thank you has entered all the way into the eternal realms of God. Amen. Bow your head with me this morning. I've gone 7 minutes over. 9 minutes over. Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have enough faith right now because the seed of heaven has been planted in your life to accept him as your into your heart, to be changed forever. Today, if you'd like to receive Jesus, I'm not going to ask you to join the church. I'm not asking you to join a religion. I want you to know him. I want you to receive him. Have your sins washed away by him. And know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you take your last breath, you're going to be with him for all of eternity. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you want him in your life? I want you to raise your hand up right now. If there's anybody in the room, come along. I'm not going to wait long. Come on, put your hand right up right now. I want Jesus in my heart. Thank you, man. I see your hand. Thank you. Is there anyone else this morning? Five. Come on, get your hand up. Four. Come on, get your hand up. Three. Last call. One. Let's all stand to our feet. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you so much, God, that you have created and given us purpose for life. Today, Jesus, we celebrate you, and we declare, God, we thank you for the person that planted the seed in our life. And we declare in the name of Jesus that we will not be without thankfulness in our heart, that they stepped out on nothing to share Jesus with us. God, give us a holy boldness in the Spirit. God, give us a passion for people in the Holy Ghost. God, help us overcome any rejection that we'll experience, that Jesus will not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but will share you with at least 5 souls this week. Fill this house, God. Fill this house, God, next week, that the gospel be preached and change will come to generations. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, if I could have the prayer team come to the front of the altar. If you need prayer for anything in your life, if you raise your hand for salvation, I'd like you to be brave and come right down to the front. And we want to pray with you, encourage you, and strengthen you. We want you to know that you have great purpose in this house. There's a guest reception. If you're a guest this morning, we'd love to meet you personally. Right on the other side of that wall, please come on in. We have coffee for you. We have some little Danishes for you. Want to shake your hand and tell you we love you.